This is just a great example, what Amber had the courage to come up here and do that. And it's just a great example, like, and also the songs that we had, like, you know, I don't have the lyrics in front of me, but the last song we were talking about, you know, for the hearts that are broken, we can go to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit coordinates these things. Like, Amber, we didn't all coordinate and get our message together, you know, get our story straight, like they say. Beforehand. So I think it's just magnificent way the Holy Spirit moves in these things. This morning we're going to talk about hope for inner healing. And I was prompted to do this. Oh yeah, children, if you want to head off to wherever you go, it's due time. So thank you, Jake. So we're in the series about spiritual gifts for quite a while. And I had five messages out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Put that on hold because something really impressed me a little over a week ago about the need for inner healing, and to bring that up, I just felt like the Holy Spirit was really, really wanting to address and speak to that area, because I was reminded pretty forcibly that not everybody is really at the same place, and people may not realize how much hope we have for this area of inner healing. So I want to develop this idea. I don't know if this is going to be a series. This feels like a standalone message right now, but I might talk about it again next week. But it can be a challenging area to go into in yourself. So I want to pray that the Lord is in this message today, and he gets to say exactly what he wants to say, because I'm a doofus a lot of times, and you need better than that. So Holy Spirit, we're going to look at your word. Your word has a chance to go forth this morning with power from you, if you accompany it with your spirit. Many of us have painful burdens, large and small, from an array of things that have happened in our lives and things that we've done ourselves. And you offer inner healing and redemption up out of the pain of those things. We look for that. We long to see you move as you would like to move in our lives. And we'd like to be blessed in that way and learn to move with you and follow you and receive the kinds of blessings that you want to give us. Because you're a good Father that really wants the best for us. And your desire is to perfect Jesus Christ in us, not just in the next world, but in this world. To perfect Jesus Christ in us, with all of his joy and all of his wholeness. So as we look into it, Lord, let my words be oh so gentle, and you to have liberty to say all that you want through your spirit to all of us here this morning. And we look for these good things since we've asked you in Jesus' name. So, hope for inner healing, first slide. There we go. So, you're going to see this slide three times as we go along through. And there's a couple of just really important verses here that I think we kind of want to have central in our mind about this area of inner healing. For the word of the cross, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And putting those bolded bits together, the word of the cross is the power of God. Now, look at the tenses in this. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So he's talking in the present tense. So he's not talking about, like, in the future, you have this thing stored up for you. But to us who are being saved, not are going to be saved, but are being saved, it is the power of God. So salvation can be viewed as kind of three different things. It's like when you turn to Jesus, decide you're going to endeavor to know God through Jesus Christ, you're saved. And then also God is in the process of saving us along the line as he builds Jesus Christ. He builds the image of Jesus Christ in us, and we're less of our sinful humanity, our sort of normal, natural way of living, is going away, and it's being replaced with Christ. And then also, ultimately, when we die and we go into heaven, and that image is completed in us, that's also our salvation. So Scripture talks about it, salvation, in three different ways. So this word here, the word of the cross, to us who are being saved, is the power of God. The word of the cross is the power of God. So I'll develop that, but hold it in mind. So that one's up in the air. Just let that one float for a bit. And the other one is, but it is due to him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. So Jesus became to us, so through the cross and through our relationship, this connection that we have, it says, is due to him that you are in Christ Jesus, and through that relationship, he becomes to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And redemption is what we're going to focus on here, because the process of receiving inner healing from the Lord is a redemption process. It's taking something that is broken and fixing it. Right, it's taking something that is not valuable and restoring value into it. That's a redemption process. So Jesus is redemption to us. It's not just that it says he provides redemption to us, although he does that. It says he is redemption to us. So there's something about Jesus himself that is this redemptive property for us, or this redemptive blessing that comes to us. So I'm going to develop this kind of in three parts. We're going to look at common deceptions around this area of inner healing, or maybe a better way to look at that or to say that is sources of deceptions that we have with regard to the wounds that we have inside. And then look at what are some of the sources of different wounds that we have in our hearts, and then really develop the idea that there really is hope for inner healing from these things. Because I think I don't have to probably give you more than a couple of seconds just to chuck this question out and say, do you have something, a place in your heart or a memory that's painful for you? That didn't take very long to answer that, right? I want you to understand there is tremendous hope in this area for those painful places in you. There's tremendous hope for you. The provisions have been made, and it's something that we can grow into and make progress in day and noticeable progress day after week, after month, after year. And there's a destination in this, so this whole message, the title of this is Hope for Inner Healing. I don't want you to leave without hope, because the whole point of this is to have hope in this area of inner healing. It's very important to understand that God is really interested in this. He's done redemptive acts for you to be able to have hope in this area, and a hope that's real, where you can see progress, where in a year you'll look back and say, look where I am now. Like, I don't have that suffering in that place in my heart that was there for years. Okay, so common deceptions. I have this video here, and years ago I showed this a little snip from this video. It's something out of Focus on the Family or something called McGee and Me, and it's this they're these live action dramas. It's for kids and stuff. The main character is this kid named Nick. He's 11 years old, and I was gonna show this clip, but I thought the scene that I wanted to show you is actually so bad that I didn't want to contaminate the room. I feel like it just didn't have any anointing from the Lord, this scene. So I'm going to read the dialogue to it instead. But here's the setup. So this kid disobeys his parents. He sneaks off and goes to a horror film that they had forbidden him to see. When he gets home, they'd caught on and they were waiting for him. And the scene is awful and contains terrible enslaving lies about inner wounds. We're going to dig through it. So here's the dialogue, and it's in the next slide and the following one. So this is in the area of understanding what are some common deceptions around inner healing, and especially about the wounds that we get. So father says, and I'm going to do the voices as well as I could. Nicholas, come in here. Did you go to the movies? Yes, sir. Did you enjoy yourself? No, it was awful. Mother, do you realize what you've done? Father, sit down, Nick. When your mother and I told you you couldn't go, it was for a purpose. Mother, we are trying to protect you. Father, your mind is the most important thing you have. That's why the Lord is very clear when he says we have to be careful what we put in it. Now, whether you enjoyed the movie or not is beside the point. Just by going to see it, you've put something in your mind to dirty it, to pollute it. It's bound to affect your life. It's garbage in, garbage out, Nicholas. Mother, you've got scenes in your mind that you can never erase. You've got pictures that may be with you for the rest of your life. So what are the lies that we see in this dialogue? Are you picking up on any lies? Just, oh, the mind. Okay, yeah, so there's a lie that the mind is the most important. And what is actually? Yeah, okay. All right, that's great. So the first lie, go on to the next one, the next page. So common deceptions, lie number one, Father, your mind is the most important thing you have. Actually, Jesus is the most important thing I have. He is able to renew my mind, right? So here's these scriptures. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Does it say transform your own mind? It says be transformed. Who's going to be doing the transforming on you? Jesus is going to be doing the transforming on you. So this is not exactly a passive process, but it's actually the one where he's doing the heavy lifting, right? And then the other one, you are to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Very similar verse, but in the spirit of our minds, Jesus is a far greater procession to us than our minds themselves, right? So great. Any other deception noticed in this? Any other lie that stands out? Contaminate you forever, right? That's an incredibly hopeless message, right? So I hate this video so much. I can't stand it. It's so bad. Yeah, I used to watch it and go, that's not really great. But then I watched it the other night, or last night, I watched it again. I was just like, I hate this video so much. So, but yeah, that this is going to be forever. So lie number two. The Father says, well, there's this one. So it's bound to affect your life. It's garbage in, garbage out, Nicholas. In other words, it's inevitable that your life will be negatively affected by this and that some garbage will result. It's inevitable, right? But Scripture says the blood of Christ can even cleanse our consciences. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more will the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So, Nick, the kid in the story, he'd done a dead work, right? I did that, actually. When I was in high school, I went to a midnight movie showing of The Exorcist. Brilliant idea. The Exorcist. I was petrified. I was driving all the way home thinking that girl was going to pop out of the back seat, right, while I'm in the driving home. And I was actually really sort of mortified at myself and disappointed, kind of just ashamed of myself for having gone to that, because I was a believer at the time, a stupid one. And actually, I spent a lot of that night, and this was maybe the first time I realized how God can heal and cleanse, because I just was confessing my sins. Like, it was really gross to me that I had done that. It was really stood out to me that it was sin that I had done so. And really, after going through that confession, like, I didn't have memories stuck in my mind. I'm going to develop this idea, but that's one of the ways that God brings cleansing to us from these and heals inner wounds is through confession. Okay, lie number three, and Donna got it. Lie number three, Mother, you've got scenes in your mind that you can never erase. You've got pictures that may be with you for the rest of your life. In other words, these things are permanent. You're stuck with them forever. Whatever you hope you had of being done with those, we're draining that away. They basically, through these different lies, they cursed their son. They cursed their son to be shackled with these deceptions and have no hope in God. And if you're here today and you've believed any one of these lies, I break them off of you in Jesus' name. Be free. We're not going to believe that those things are true. When the blood of Jesus Christ and his presence within us is so powerful and so overwhelmingly able to deliver us from these things, right? Have hope in this area. So here's the scripture for that. We can be set free of these images in our minds. Images in our minds. Images in our minds. Think of images in your minds. Don't think a lot about it right now. But you have images in your minds, probably an inventory of them that you wish you didn't have. You can be delivered from them. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous so that he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in the scriptures, unrighteousness, we often think, well, unrighteousness is my behavior. I do unrighteous things. My behavior is unrighteous. But there's this kind of a nuanced definition that unrighteousness is actually also like dirt from the world that gets on us. And that's why the word cleanse is used, because that dirt from the world that gets on us, or that we get ourselves into by sinning, like I did going to the stupid movie, it's like dirt on our soul. And through confession, it's like Jesus takes blood that he took of his own blood, that he took to heaven, and he puts it on his finger, and he touches that part of our spirit, and it cleanses that away. Right? And so that's different from being forgiven. You know, forgiveness is complete, like as far as the east is from the west. As far as the east is from the west, our sins have been taken away from us. But cleansing is different things, because we kind of get smudged up and dirty through the things that we've done, and also from the things that have happened to us. Sins that other people have done against us, they mar us and they damage us and they hurt us. We have wounded places in us because of sins that have been done to us, as well as the ones we've done to ourselves. And the blood of Jesus applied at each one of those points is able to cleanse. And so, like for me, the images that I had from that wretched movie, Jesus came, and I was probably not that cognizant of what he was doing, but without really even understanding the process or what he was doing literally, like with his blood and the things that were going on, I didn't understand the mechanics of it, but I was doing what I needed to do, which was confess. And because I was doing what I needed to be doing, he took action the way he was going to, right? He responded. And so there's this interactive dynamic that can happen between us and Jesus when we come to him with these things that are going on in our hearts. So cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's talking about kind of the dirt. Sometimes I call it residual unrighteousness. I do a sin, there was unrighteousness in the action of the sin, that's been forgiven, but there's also residual unrighteousness left over from that action, which is the dirt I got on myself, right? It's the dirt I got on my soul. So there's that. So next slide. So yeah, I talked about that. The net effect of these lies is to curse Nick to a future shackled to those images and the shame of his disobedience. In the video, he's never comforted or restored in the remainder of the show, nor shown any path toward cleansing, nor ministered to with blessing. But Scripture says, brothers and sisters, even if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you're not tempted as well. So be free from these deceptions. Images you have in your mind, you can be delivered from. Painful memories, you can be delivered from. Like that stuff, Jesus is able to move into those areas. So I want you to have the highest hopes about this area of your life. So sources, what are sources of inner wounds that we have? Well, there's a number of them. I kind of came up with four categories. Excuse me. Our own sins, we commonly carry shame and regret and guilt and painful memories from things that we've done. And so here's a verse that really kind of addresses that. This is in Romans. This is speaking generally of humanity. People show the work of the law written in their hearts, their consciences testifying, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. So did you know that your conscience is put into you by God as a secondary voice on his behalf? It's like a secondary voice that speaks about righteousness, and it's within you, and it just pronounces judgment. That was good, that was wrong, or that is something you is a good thing to do. If you do that, that will be a bad thing to do. So it can prejudge actions that we're considering and also post-judge actions that we've taken, right? So our consciences either defend us when we believe that we've done what is right, or they accuse us when we've done something that is wrong, right? In our own eyes, right? So our consciences can be not the best measure. The Word of God is a better measure. So our consciences need to be tuned up by understanding the Scripture, understanding God, and getting to know him, right? Well, our conscience will be better honed and more tuned into the truth of Scripture and the truth of God if we allow God to work in that part of us. But our consciences accuse us. So here's something I want to draw your attention to. If you're remembering amidst these different painful memories and stuff, I hope you're not dwelling on, but rather listening. But if you're cognizant of something that you did in the past, and your conscience is accusing you about that, the answer to that is confession of sin. And not of generalities, like you don't confess, well, let's say you're driving around and you get pulled over for speeding. And you get a ticket, you're doing, 45 and a 30 or whatever, and you decide, I'm going to court for this. Are you in court because you're a speeder, or are you in court because you sped? Because you sped. Right, because on a certain date, on a certain road, a certain time, it was by a certain amount, you're over the speed limit. So you're in court because you sped, and that guy didn't know anything about whether you're a speeder or not. He just had you in that one instance, right? So your conscience is like that. It'll speak to a specific instance, right? So when you confess sins, you want to address and confess with regard to specific instances, not just a sweeping generality. Like, you can't go into the judge and say, I fall on the mercy of the court because I'm a speeder, right? You're not there because you're a speeder. You're there because of that you sped on a certain date and time, right? So our consciences accuse us in the same way. They accuse us specifically about individual instances. And so that's kind of the business, that's kind of the traffic that we need to do with God, right? Or the interaction that we have to have with God is around individual instances. And the reason I'm sort of dwelling on this is because other wounds that come into us, like I was mistreated by this person in my life over and over and over and over again, can result in me feeling anger or bitterness toward him or her. It's actually the same thing. There was this instance in which it happened, and then there was this instance in which it happened, and then another one, and another one, and another one. And those things accumulate to feel like I just had this onslaught over the years from this person abusing me and stuff. But in actuality, God is really concerned. He's concerned about each individual instance. So when we go to him, like to the extent that we remember and those things are still separate in our minds, when we go to him for inner healing, he's really looking at going after it piecemeal, when we would really like him to just go and just like shove all the dishes off the table, right, and take an approach like that and just be done with it all. But and so that might make the endeavor of going to God for inner healing seem a little more daunting, because I'm going to have to go to him over and over. But actually, when you go to him for any individual instance and you actually receive healing, you'll have evidence that he's involved in this process, he's paying attention, he's interested in the minute things of your life, he cares, he has compassion over even small things. And when you receive the encouragement that, wow, I have healing from that, like I thought that I carried that for years, when you have healing from that, you'll be encouraged to go and go for more, right? So sources of inner wounds, our own sins. The next one, sins done to us, harms that we've received from others lead to wounds in our hearts. So David, King David, before he was king, was hounded around Israel and pursued while the prior king, King Saul, tried to kill him because Saul knew that he was his successor, that he was going to be king after Saul. And David was not Saul's son. Saul had a son. And Saul knew that Jonathan, his own son, was not going to be king. He didn't like the idea that his dynasty of one kingdom, of one kingship, was going to come to an end and be given to somebody else. So he actually was going to try to murder, multiple times tried to murder David, chased him around the country, had spies looking for him, all kinds of stuff. So David was had a lot of injustice being done to him. And this was one of the things he wrote in a psalm. The ropes of death encompassed me, and the torrents of destruction terrified me. The ropes of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. So this is a guy who's suffered these abuses and like murderous intent, conspiracies, and basically assassins sent out for him, and armies marching on him to find his position and kill him. And time after time, he's just like falling on his face before God. And you know, this is a burdened heart that writes this. This is a guy that's been wronged over and over again, unjustly wronged by this guy. And you know, but he's calling upon the Lord from a broken heart. Really, there's a lot of brokenness in this heart of David's, right? So, So wounds, we can receive wounds. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Everybody has received wounds from somebody who mistreats them in life, has mistreated them one or more times in life. It can be an unjust, and it just feels like your soul's just been raked like cat claws, right? And those wounds don't go away on their own just with time. Time partly heals them, but oftentimes that's still in there for a long time and can be painful. There's healing for that. There's deliverance from that. There's inner healing that you can have for that. All right, other sources of inner wounds. Here's another one. Natural evils of sickness and death and losses and disasters that befall us or others that we love due to living in a broken and unredeemed world. So I don't know if the over 40s in the room might remember Hurricane Andrew wrecking a lot of Miami. Well, my parents were down in that part of town. And the storm came really quickly. It was moving about 22 miles an hour, and it was super powerful and really compact. And they were almost dead center in the destruction path for that hurricane. And because it came so fast, they turned around and said, if you're on the road, find some shelter, knock on a door, and get inside. Right? They knew that people were not going to be able to drive out of the area quick enough. And so they stayed in their house, and it was almost completely destroyed around them. Like the roof had come off, like things were just falling and blowing through, stuff was slamming into the house. And like my dad was running around initially before the winds got too high, trying to save this and that, and like putting pots under the leaks and things like, just trying to save it. But eventually it was just like, we just got to survive. Like, so they went in the smallest room. They had this bathroom, and they just like spent the night praying. And while the house just undid itself around them, and just things were just hammering. Like, stuff would hit the house with a boom, 100 miles an hour, stuff flying through there. And they'd go out, and like even on that side of the house, there was nothing there in the morning because it had gone and blown over somewhere else. Right? I went down there a week later. The trees. I couldn't even remember. Like the memories were so messed up that of seeing this devastation that they just didn't make any sense, because I know that when I went down there, the trees, none of the trees had a leaf on them. Not a single leaf was left on the trees. And almost all of the trees looked like they'd had a bomb put in about 10 feet up, where all of the branches were just torn off. And there weren't even leaves around on the ground. They had all gone like to the Everglades. They were gone. They're in the Gulf of Mexico or something. So the storm was incredibly destructive. I got down there like a week later, and we rescued what we could out of the house, but the house was almost a complete loss. They did manage to rebuild it for about three quarters of the original price of the house is what it cost to rebuild the house. But my mom and dad were really traumatized by that. So this was a natural evil that comes because we're supposed to have lordship over the earth, and we don't have lordship over the earth, right? Because we gave away the earth. Really, we gave away our opportunity to have lordship over the earth through the fall. So the world is broken, and it just dishes out stuff. Nature has disregard for humanity. And so natural things, diseases, afflictions, losses from these different kinds of things, just out of the blue stuff can happen. And it just hurts, and it's traumatizing. My mom, she couldn't stand the sound of rain and thunderstorms after that, like for a number of years until she got healing in this area. She was really messed up because of the storm. They moved away from Miami. It just wasn't even the same living there because we just rebuilt our house, but it could happen again. So they had this tension even about being there. They weren't free in their hearts about even where they lived, and they moved away. So it was like very damaging, and those kinds of things have befallen many of us at different times. And if not us, somebody that we've known, and we've felt in our heart the injustice, the wrongness of those losses incurred to us or people that we love, right? And those are inner wounds. And then spiritual attacks, wicked spirits attack us with discouragement and lies and afflictions, and they're cruel and opportunistic. That they like to pile on. They're cruel and opportunistic, and they'll pile on when things are already bad enough. We'll have whispering in our ears that just makes it even worse. Lies and just horrible, horrible things that they'll say to try to degrade us. So those are sources of inner wounds, but we're here for hope for inner healing. So here are these verses again. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, the word of the cross. I'm going to tell you, with regard to healing, what the word of the cross is for us this morning. And then this other one, but it is due to him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption from these things, thank God. So that just as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Here's another passage for hope for inner healing. And this is where... this is where we kind of come into the presence of God and really begin to partake of this healing that he offers us. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let's approach God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. And I'm using that word broadly to say those are our inner wounds. Anything that needs to be mopped up is a result of the natural or human evils in this world or spiritual evils that we've been subjected to. So the sources of wounds in our lives are all basically results of evils in the world that have contaminated or damaged our conscience in a way that makes it not really well attuned to and not really full of the Holy Spirit and full of the abundant life that God would have for us, right? So an evil conscience is not, you're an evil person, your conscience needs to be cleared, right? No, an evil conscience is these different things that within our hearts, within our souls, present these challenges to us that are painful. Painful spots in us, whether that's because of something that we did ourselves that we're ashamed of, whether we're something somebody else did that hurt us, something that happened out of the blue because a broken world or spiritual attacks. Those are the four sources I know of, really. We go to Jesus with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith to have our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. And sprinkled with what? Well, what gets sprinkled is his blood. His blood. Because here's a strange thing. Jesus shed his blood on the cross, and yet it still says somewhere, I think it's in Hebrews, that he has his blood in the holy place in the heavens. So it's like he shed blood here, but because that was a fruit of his obedience, he actually has that as a treasure that he's taken into the holy place of heaven, and that blood speaks on our behalf as the blood of forgiveness to us. But it's also the blood of cleansing to us. When he sprinkles that blood onto our hearts, that's how cleansing comes. So if we go back to that verse before, the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So this is the word of the cross, that Jesus' blood and all of the redemption that he experienced is available for you. Anything that he achieved and received for himself is available to you. So, hope for inner healing. So, we have this verse here. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus. consider Jesus. Hebrews 3:1. So let's consider Jesus. Jesus, on that day, was betrayed by one of his own, Judas. He was abandoned by his friends. He was denied by another one of his friends. He was rejected by the people. He was rejected by the nation. So the crowds who had thought he was great and probably were involved in the triumphal entry where they were praising him and stuff, a week later, probably people in the same crowd are calling for him to be crucified. He's rejected by the leaders, the priests, who ought to have known better and who knew prophecies about the coming Savior, and he was rejected by the nation. Like, he was rejected across the board. He was spit on, and he was slapped and mocked. He was tortured. He was crucified. He was humiliated, and he was murdered. And in the midst of that, he bore our sins. So you talk about a guy that could have some inner wounds. Right? There's no worse story on earth than what happened to Jesus. You couldn't even make a worse story. Every single thing that you might have some joy in was taken from him. Every single thing was taken from him. And yet, when he rose from the dead, But Jesus rose from the dead with no lingering negative effects from these things. He was completely redeemed and therefore has this redemption to give to you. Because he rose from the dead having conquered sin. He went to the cross, scorning its shame. He took shame to the grave. He went to the cross, a broken body, his body purposefully given over to being broken. He took infirmity in him so that by his stripes you could have healing. You see in the pattern here? So anything, and he was restored. He was restored in his body. He's now without any shame. He's actually the glorious Lord of the entire universe, right? He's free of sin, even though he became sin for us. So everything that he suffered here on the cross and has redemption from is available to you. There's no limitation. So all these traumas that he endured, all of these traumas that he endured, which are the same kinds of traumas we've endured in our own lives, he has been completely restored. And since he is our redemption, he has redemption for you in these areas. So inner healing is available through him. Make no mistake, we are full of hope. We're not hopeless like Nick's parents and like they made Nick be hopeless about his situation and his future with regard to the images in his mind. We have full confidence and hope in Jesus Christ that our healing comes from him and it's available to you and it's available to you today. This is something for us today. We're meant to receive healing from him today. And that's a powerful, hopeful message. So I have something that I call Destination Zero in the next slide. And it's this. I've said this many times. You are not meant to live under any shadow from the past. You're meant to be free. You are not meant to live under any shadow from the past. You are meant to be free. This means no feelings of guilt from things you've done, no lingering pain from any past experiences, no bitterness toward anyone, no anger toward God, complete healing. And I call that Destination Zero. Destination Zero is a real thing. It'll take you some years to get to Destination Zero. It's a real place you can be. I try to live as close to it as I can. And I went through long years of learning how to receive healing in different parts of me, and also that simply sometimes the Lord would just bring to mind something, like he knows the order of the pages in your book. Let's say your book is, you know, a page for every day. Right, so I don't know what that is, but 30 or 40,000 days, I don't know how many days we live, 20,000 days, 30,000 days in our lives. He knows the order of turning the pages in our book, so what he's providing into our daily lives. He also knows when to grab a whole chunk of pages and go back to a page and say, Keith, that still hurts you. And he did that one time. When I was six, I lived in this house, had an attic, and the attic was unfinished. But it was kind of a steep roof house, and there was enough room in there for a bedroom. And I thought, when I was six, how cool would it be if my dad could make that into a bedroom for me, right? What if he made that into a bedroom? So I went and told my dad, like, could you make my the attic into a bedroom for me? I'm at it. So he started working on it. So he's up there working on it. It's like, he's making the bedroom. He's making the bedroom. And he gave it to my sister. That hurt, right? That hurt. And one time, and this was actually, so I was six, and about 4 years ago, Father grabbed all those pages to my book, and he said, that still hurts you. And I just like, yeah, it did still hurt. It really hurt. I felt really betrayed. And so from 6 to 54, where I was at 48 years, I had this pain in my heart. Like, it wasn't a major thing. It wasn't, like, I'd been through a lot of healing to that point. I understood that when he brought that up, he was going to go for that thing and heal that place in me. And so as I prayed, I just had this image in my head, and it kind of been the image that I'd had as a memory, where I came to my bedroom door, my bedroom's back here, and then I would open my door, I'd stand in the hall, and the doorway to the attic was right here. And I had this image in my mind of myself sort of standing there and looking at the bedroom. Now it was the bedroom door to the attic, right? Except now, Jesus was there with his arm around me. And it changed everything. Like, he healed that spot in me because he had been there. Although I didn't know, he'd been there. It was powerful. Like, I haven't looked back painfully on that. I can tell the story. It's a really good example of a story. But I don't have bitterness or sadness about that. My parents, they had talked about it. They didn't want me up there because they felt like I'd be scared. I was just six, right? If there were storms or something. It was in New York. We got thunderstorms. And they were looking out for me, right? They meant it well, they communicated it badly. And that was the whole of it, right? That's not that bad, really. The Lord was in that, right? He was there, and he comforted that place, and he healed that place in me, in my heart. And I've never had to think painfully about it again. So he knows the order of the pages in his book. He knows what you need to receive from him on any given day in your time with him. He's turning these pages. He's looking to perfect the image of Christ in you. Sometimes that means taking a hunk of pages and going back and say, let's deal with this one right here because that still hurts you. And I found that sometimes he'll go after a theme, like let's mop that up, or sometimes I'll find that I have a sister that abused me quite a lot, right? And time after time she would do that, and because I, you know, early on I didn't have good habits of confession, and I didn't really understand how God moved in this area of healing. But as I moved into this area of healing, I just kind of got better at realizing that, like, okay, that really hurt, and I kind of need to get with God and go to him and receive and get healed up from that. So that's not just, it's not in our relationship, right? From my side, it's not in our relationship. So I don't have a spirit of wanting to abuse her back or be angry. And also, it just not being on my mind, I want to be delivered from those things. So I found that sometimes the Lord will draw attention to something by grabbing a chunk of pages and pointing to something. But other times, I can just sort of sit and say, like, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's like, I kind of just want to deal with this, Lord. I have this thing that's bugging me. I just want to bring it up to you. And we'll just have some time together, and he'll provide healing. Right? And so after years of doing that, after years of not doing it, I had quite a backlog. And then, like, quite a backlog. And then after years of doing it and pursuing healing, I live pretty close to destination zero most of the time. And it's transformative. Like, my mind's not cluttered up with bitterness and pain. I don't tend to be really reactive when people abuse me because, like, I don't have these, it's not dredging up painful memories or places in my heart that I just became less of an angry person. I was just less angry. It's like harder to get me angry these days because of this healing that I've had. So I'm just testifying, not about myself, but about the power of Jesus Christ to deliver in these areas. I want to give you hope and let that hope be grounded in testimony. So destination zero is a real thing. And I think maybe that we'll talk about this a little next week, because I want to equip you, right? I'm kind of giving you a framework, a conceptual framework about this, but I also want to equip you so that you can receive ministry in this area and also minister to yourself as you kind of grow in this area, because it's something for all of us. But to go back to these verses, and this is my last slide, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We're being saved. The word of the cross and what was accomplished there. All of the stuff that got left behind at the cross when Jesus died, all the stuff that would have just destroyed any human being that he was redeemed from, that we see in his redeemed life. His fullness of redeemed life is for you. That's a foolish idea if you don't believe that the cross was important. But it's life to us because of what he did. And then this other one is Jesus becomes wisdom to us and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is the personification of redemption. He's the personification of redemption. And he is in your heart through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called in Scripture the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is in you, the personification of redemption. That person is in you with redemptive power for you. Yeah. So that's what I have to say. Lord God, your word is rich and powerful, and you're rich and powerful in grace and mercy toward us. Thank you for these amazing words. Thank you for the testimony of Scripture about what you did and accomplished for us and what you will still do and accomplish for us. We're broken people. Like, so many things have hit us in this life that none of us get out unscathed from this life that we live. But we can live by your power and by your intervention supernaturally above and beyond those things. And you have that grace for anything that's happened to us, any painful memory, any loss, any shame, any guilt, any impact that we've suffered through ourselves or others or just being in this world. And we want to partake of that. We want to drink deeply at the well of your grace and your mercy. We want to receive the sprinkling blood that provides cleansing. We want to get better and learn how to do this and live more in the abundant life that you have for us. So teach us, Lord. Open our hearts that we would be able to move with your Holy Spirit and follow your leading and trust you, that we can briefly visit these painful places in order for you to have access to them and come away healed. That's a message of hope, not of dread. Just speak to our hearts that is not a place of dread to revisit something in your companionship and be healed by you. Because you're good and you love us and you're perfecting, Lord God, you're perfecting the image of Jesus Christ in us. And it's your desire for fullness of joy and abundant life to be ours in this life now, not just the next one. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, how powerful your love is for us. You love us so much. You're so tender-hearted and merciful toward us, so tender-hearted. What a good father. What a good father, the way you hold your children in your arms and minister to us. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. If you want to come